You're listening to Like Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Pope Francis is seen as one of the most progressive popes the Catholic Church has ever been led by. However, in March, it seemed that Pope Francis signaled the limits to his reformist ideas as he signed a Vatican decree that reaffirms old church teaching and bars priests from blessing same-sex unions. This latest announcement was disheartening not just for LGBTQ people, but also for advocates working within the church, like Father James Martin. He's a Jesuit priest and author whose ministry work involves outreach to LGBTQ persons and LGBTQ Catholics in particular. He joins me now to discuss the impact of this latest Vatican announcement, starting with his initial reaction to the news.
Well, I was pretty saddened by it. I don't think I was so surprised because it came from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which was responding to the German Bishops' Synod, which is a sort of a countrywide meeting of the bishops and lay people who had been talking about this, who had been talking about allowing priests to bless same-sex unions. The problem was that the CDF statement went beyond that. They could have just said no, which wouldn't have surprised too many people. And it categorized their relationships as sinful, as sin. And I think that was the surprise. Now, later on, Pope Francis distanced himself from that. And there are reports that I think should be taken seriously that said that he was, in a sense, pushed or pressured to sign this. But nonetheless, it's out there. And I think many LGBT people were very upset by it.
Right. As you mentioned, phrasing it as sin, you know, the language that is used has such power. So did you immediately start hearing feedback from the community that you've worked with in ministry for so long?
Yeah, immediately. People hadn't heard language like that in a long time. And, you know, there are same-sex couples who have accompanied one another, who care for one another, who, you know, nurse one another through sicknesses. And, you know, it struck them that that kind of relationship, you know, does not qualify as sinful. And to say that that love is sin, you know, was really a hard pill for a lot of them to swallow.
Back in September of 2019, you indeed had a private audience with Pope Francis, and you did speak with him in general about LGBT Catholics and your ministry work. And you mentioned that, you know, certain aspects of this latest announcement isn't surprising, but do you feel people who see this as like Pope Francis kind of vacillating or flip-flopping, do you think they just maybe don't understand his position as well? Or, you know, how it's very emotional. And as you mentioned, the power of language, but do you encourage people to take a step back? Or what did you take from it, having had an audience with him to talk about these issues?
Well, and that's right. And when we were together, I can't say what we talked about. He asked me to keep it private so we could be sort of speaking freely. But, you know, his meeting with me was supposed to be a sign, right, of his approval of this ministry. And I left that meeting, I can say for my part, I'm feeling very uplifted and encouraged and inspired. I think, again, we have to take seriously these reports from very well sourced people in the Vatican who say that, you know, this does not reflect his own pastoral outreach to LGBT people. And in the days following it, he talked about in some of his messages, not being too clericalist, not focusing on rules too much. And then a few days later, he appointed an openly gay man, Juan Carlos Cruz, to a very high level Vatican appointment. So I do ask people to take a step back and see it in the totality, you know, of what the church is doing and not just focus on that one document from the congregation, you know, hurtful and painful as it was for people. The church is bigger than just that one document, basically.
Well, and on the note of the size of the church, obviously the Vatican is the hub for the Catholic Church, but it's global, right? And there was a largest single protest by Catholics against the Vatican's ban on blessing same-sex gender unions. And that was published with over 3,000 people participating, including over 100 theologians. So how do you feel about church leaders and congregations openly disagreeing with the Vatican? You know, is this indicative of a growing divide, or do you see it as an opportunity for change?
I think it is an opportunity for change. And I think in addition to the statement or the petition that you were talking about, which was very powerful, you had bishops mainly in Europe, bishops in Germany and in Belgium, who came right out and said, I disagree with this statement. This is hurtful. And so, again, it's an indication of the conversation that's going on around this. And it's also an indication that people found that document really difficult to stomach. When you have bishops coming out and saying that this document from the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith is wrong and is hurtful, that means there's something going on in the church. And it in a sense, it jump-started this conversation even more.
I know things aren't very quick, shall we say, to change within the larger Roman Catholic Church, but do you think bishops at that level of authority speaking out, do you think this will make it quicker in a regard to at least having more dialogues about this issue?
Well, I do think the dialogue has started, and I think it depends where you are. So in the United States and in Western Europe, there is this dialogue going on, and people are friendly and have same-sex couples in their families, and so there's a lot more familiarity. But in places like Eastern Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa and other places like that, the conversation is not going on. So the other thing we have to remember is that the Pope is the Pope of a universal church, you know, worldwide church. And what might seem tepid or lukewarm in the United States overseas may seem really hot and may seem really threatening. So he's trying to balance that out. But again, the statement doesn't really reflect his own pastoral outreach and his own style of outreach to LGBT people, which I think is continuing, you know, through these appointments and through some of his messages. And we'll see what he says in the weeks and months to come.
Do you think it's hard for us to discern that, though, like that he is the Pope and the leader, yet his individual ministry shares something different?
That's a good question. I think, you know, he is working in an institution, right? Like anyone who works in the church. I think the difficulty for most people is, in a sense, the need to sort of read these Vatican tea leaves, which can be very frustrating for people. So a few days after this document came out, the Pope said, you know, a couple things about clericalism and legalism in some homilies and what's called the Angelus message. And it was very subtle. It was a message, though, to people. And then he appointed Juan Carlos Cruz, and he appointed another very progressive theologian to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And Vaticanologists can say, oh, well, here he is responding. But, you know, the person in the pews and the sort of average, I would say, LGBT Catholic who's not, you know, following this stuff may only know about the CDF statement and may still feel wounded. So I'm hoping that, as I said, in the weeks and months to come, there is some sort of, you know, effort on the part of the Pope or the part of the Vatican to really speak a word of comfort to LGBT people.
Definitely. And when we last had you on Lake Effect a few years ago, it was to talk about your book, Building a Bridge, which is all about connecting LGBTQ people with the Catholic Church and community. I want you to reflect a bit on the response to that book. And then here we are some years later. What kind of lasting change have you noticed from it?
I've noticed a lot of change. And the response to the book, which came out in 2017, was very positive and very negative. So people were, I went to parishes where I got standing ovations and people waited in line for 2 hours to see me, packed churches and people crying and gratitude. And then online, if you go online and just type in James Martin LGBT, you'll see a lot of personal attacks and, you know, really, really vicious attacks. It showed the need for a conversation, right? And then in the following months, I was invited by the Vatican to give a talk at the World Meeting of Families. Pope Francis invited me to a private audience, which was, you know, certainly a big deal for me and for the ministry. And since then, I think we have seen a lot of progress and change. You see more and more parishes and high schools and colleges having LGBT outreach groups. You simply do. There are just more of them. Even the term LGBT has become much more acceptable in the last couple of years in the church, where bishops would have never used those terms before. So I do see progress. And I would say that it's because of two things. One, it's because of Pope Francis and his appointment of people who are more LGBT friendly. And second, as more and more people come out, more and more parishes and schools and dioceses are affected, and families. And so they're bringing those desires and those hopes and those struggles into their parishes and into other Catholic institutions. So while the first trend may change, right? I mean, God forbid, you know, Pope Francis dies tomorrow, that could change tomorrow. The second trend of people coming out and being more open is not going to change. And so I see a progressive sort of opening up of the church to the LGBTQ community in the coming years.
And I want to talk about how your work has changed, not just in light of the recent announcement in March, but throughout the pandemic. How has this impacted you?
Well, it's funny you should say that. Obviously, the pandemic has been a real cross for me as well as for other people. At the same time, in terms of my LGBT ministry, I'm doing many more talks than I had before. I probably have two or three talks or lectures a day. And so I'm zooming in with schools and with parishes and with conferences. And I was reflecting the other day that I'm in a sense, I'm much more out there and doing much more of this ministry with groups virtually, of course, than I was before the pandemic. So almost every week I'm speaking to five or six groups of people interested in this LGBTQ outreach. So I'm surprised at the way that this ministry has been able to continue through the pandemic.
And would you say that the pandemic has had the perhaps an opposite effect of what we initially thought, where it would detach people away? Is it maybe creating a more level playing field for people who have been hesitant to connect with ministries or communities to have a safe space that is virtual, that is relatively low risk to kind of dip your toes in?
I think that's a very good question. And I think one of the most surprising things is that LGBTQ Catholics, you know, who may have been, in a sense, sort of stuck with their own parish, you know, which may not have been welcoming, have been able to go online and find all these parishes that are super open. So for example, if you're in a small town, you know, wherever, and you don't have a welcoming pastor or parish or even bishop, you can go online on Sunday and go to a mass at a parish in New York or Los Angeles or somewhere else, a small town that has an open and more welcoming policy, and you can feel right at home. So that's the great irony. And I think that what's going to happen is that people are going to say about their own parishes, why can't we be as open as this parish that I've been, you know, whose live stream masses I've been going to for the last year? So I think it does kind of, you know, ask other parishes to raise the bar when it comes to their LGBTQ outreach.
Yeah, it has opened more doors, and yet it kind of adds to the maybe push and pull a lot of LGBTQ Catholics feel in realizing, oh, there is a place where things are accepting, and yet then you get demoralized again with statements like that. But what happens when LGBT people don't feel connected to the church, but they still want to connect with their faith?
Well, and that's the topic of my new book called Learning to Pray, which is that, you know, prayer is for everyone. That's the subtitle, A Guide for Everyone. And even if you don't feel connected to your church, to organized religion, you know, you can have a relationship with God, because God wants a relationship with everybody. And so in the book, which is not just for LGBT people, of course, I talk about how to enter into a deeper relationship with God through prayer, through using the various techniques of prayer. And that really is the foundation of faith. I mean, your relationship with God. And even if you have a hard time finding a church that's welcoming, you can have this relationship with God. Who wants a relationship with you?
Well, Father Jim Martin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak about this latest issue and share some of your perspective.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Father James Martin is a Jesuit priest, author, and editor-at-large of America Magazine. You can also listen back to our first conversation about his book, Building a Bridge, at WUWM.com. A new documentary based off of Father Martin's work will also premiere at the Tribeca Film Festival in June. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.